Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 3, Episode 11. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the most comprehensive Steelers site on the internet. And I'm David Todd of ESPN.com. Dave, happy Labor Day to you. It's football season, first week of the season, our first of three a week podcast starting today, Labor Day. What's going on?
Coming off of a day yesterday, people probably didn't see too much activity on SteelersDepot.com and on my Twitter feed. 14 hours worth of fantasy drafts yesterday, David. And let me tell you, it makes for a long, long day, especially when one of those is one of the leagues I'm in is a 23-year-old league that I helped create many, many moons ago that's still alive and well. Unfortunately, you still have to be present for those drafts. So I was forced to leave the house and go do that and be amongst people I have known for years who kind of accept the way that I am. But, it's that time of year. I think my dog has wrapped up his fantasy drafts as well, too. So we're all ready.
That's a lot of fantasy. That's a lot of fantasy drafts. How many three did you do?
Three yesterday, and this league yesterday last night. 23 years old, I believe.
Wow, that's pretty good. So they all live in the area. Obviously, nobody's flying down from the bird.
Yeah, and there's these people all live local now. I think we have seven original members from the original. Actually, it's fewer than that. I think it's five original members from the original eight. I think when we started this league, there was eight league owners in this thing, and then just a handful of them left. But now it's a 14-team league, but it's the same league for 23. A lot of these guys have been with us for 14, 15 years, something like that. So it's a once a year thing that you meet up with guys that you haven't seen all year and, shoot the crap and have some pizza, and some few of them still like to have pops and whatnot. So makes for a good time.
All right, good stuff. Well, since we got together last, lots of news. Obviously, we talked on Friday morning, and Friday was roster cutdown day. And I think simply said, in the big picture, there are no surprises. But that still meant that, putting together a list of 53, and I think we've made the point here that this 53 isn't going to be the 53 that's here maybe even next week, maybe even later in this week, depending on what they do with David DeCastro, and we'll get into that. But, this 53 and the group on the practice squad, we've got 61 guys now. We're going to see lots of changes. Obviously, injuries happen in the NFL, and guys move around. But overall, you did your write-up. You hit 50 out of 53. But what's your just general overview of the roster they put together?
I can understand all the moves. And like we said before we got on here, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback this and say, oh, I saw that coming, or why didn't I see that coming type attitude. But really, I can't. And I kind of broke down in my post. I missed the Trey Essex thing, and I think a lot of people did. I think we all assumed that neither of those guys, if there was going to be even after the DeCastro injury, we kind of thought, okay, well, what that does is it opens up the door for Trey Essex now,
Right.
Because also we thought for sure that DeCastro would be moved to the 8-week IR as soon as this coming Tuesday, which evidently is not a given if you listen to the comments made by Kevin Colbert this past week. But that aside, the reason that they kept Kelvin Beachum over Trey Essex, for one, is, and if you go back, this is where I could kick myself, David, Trey Essex only worked at right tackle during the preseason, okay? I'm trying to remember if he got any left tackle work in, and I don't think he did.
Maybe in the very first game.
No, I don't think so, because I think it went Mike Adams. No, you might be right. It might have went Mike Adams, Trey. I'll have to look at my participant.
I think when Mike Adams went down, Trey got some snaps at left tackle.
Because Starks wasn't in there until the third game.
Week three, right.
Right. So, yeah, he got very little work there, I think. And then, of course, Kelvin Beachum got work at both left tackle and left guard. But we all knew that Trey Essex was not going to be a left tackle, regardless of how many snaps he got over there or not. We knew that wasn't going to be the possibility. So when you look at that Trey Essex more as just a right tackle, once Ramon Foster showed in that game against, I guess that would have been the second preseason game, once he showed that he could play right tackle and Gilbert showed that he could play left tackle, it pretty much made Trey Essex position not needed at that point. Of course, it was a week before they had lost David DeCastro to his injury. But, you know, when you're crunched for roster spots like that and being as Al Essex, he only played on the right side, and Beachum, who Kevin Colbert said on Friday, they intend for this kid to eventually learn the center position too, because he's that smart of a kid. So he's the new quote-unquote Trey Essex, I guess you would say. It makes sense now, looking back on it, why they kept Beachum over Essex, not only for those reasons, but cutting Essex before the start of the season and not having him on the roster for week one means you didn't have to guarantee his base salary for the entire season as well, too. So,
I think that's an important point there. And I think when you talked about DeCastro, what's going on with Kevin Colbert, look, David DeCastro is going on the IR. It's just going to happen. I fail to believe anything that Kevin Colbert said in terms of, look, what he said was we might carry David DeCastro on the roster for a few weeks. And it's just what you said. If you have a vested veteran and you have him on the roster in week one, his salary is fully guaranteed for the year. And what the Steelers are going to do here is I'm fully convinced after they play Denver, they will put David DeCastro on the injured reserve and carry another offensive lineman. They know typically that they're only going to offensive lineman. They can get through this week of practice with the eight guys they have, and then they put DeCastro on the IR, and they go into next week, and they'll have nine on the roster. So this is a financial savings move. It makes sense. There's nothing wrong with it, but there's no reason for the Steelers to carry David DeCastro for 8 weeks when he obviously he's not remotely close to being ready to play or practicing or anything else. So I think it's a financial move. I understand why they do it, but I'm not quite sure why Kevin Colbert obfuscated it quite as much as he did.
The only thing I could think of, and I guess it retros back to when the injury happened for David DeCastro. I guess that's the big question here too. Let's say they try to carry DeCastro. Let's say they don't need the roster spot for a little while. Let's say they carry David DeCastro for 4 weeks, okay? And then they all of a sudden need the roster spot and place him on IR. You know, does that retro back to when the injury takes place, or does the 8 week start when he's placed on the IR?
I think it starts from the start of the season, so week eight. The only other thing is possibly what the Steelers might do, or what they might be thinking, is you can go a week or two and see if somebody else gets injured. And if there is another injury, as a hypothetical, let's say James Harrison plays this game Sunday night against Denver and bangs his knee up, and they decide he needs 8 weeks. Well, maybe they decide James Harrison is more valuable and is more likely to be ready in 8 weeks than David DeCastro, and he becomes the designated guy. So that could be a good reason to do it. I hadn't really thought about that, but that probably makes some sense. You want to see what happens for a week or two, and you say somebody more important than David DeCastro gets injured, well, then you haven't used your designation yet.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Not rushing into anything to make a rash decision on this. So, as you said, you never know what could happen this week. Maybe Woodley does something, tears a meniscus or whatever. You know, like you said, if they can get away with carrying DeCastro in week one, and knowing he's going to be down, knowing he's going to be one of the inactives, you can work this thing week to week until you need that roster spot. Now, when you get to a point where you need that roster spot or another major injury happens, well, then that's when you when you do something. But as of right now, I think Colbert's saying, hey, we can carry him right now on the roster and, you know, and basically go week to week on this. So that.
Yeah, and we'll both have to check this rule because it's a new rule that obviously got written this past week. So we'll clarify in terms of it's 8 weeks in the season. You can take them off after 6 weeks. We'll make sure we understand the exact language of the rule. But I think it's a designation as a terms in terms of time on the NFL schedule, not necessarily term in terms of time the player has physically been on the IR. So we'll clarify it, but I'm pretty sure that's the way it goes.
Well, I mean, what happens if someone goes down in week seven?
Yeah, I think I'm comfortable in saying that that's how you can use it if you want to use it for a week like that. Not that it would be, you know, that advantageous to you, but I think that's probably the way it works.
Well, what I'm saying is I think let's say there's a team out there with no guys on IR and they lose a guy week seven that's going to be out for 8 weeks. They can place that guy on there and get him back right before the end of the season.
Yeah, I think once you're on for any amount of time. At that point, they could just bring him back whenever they want it, and they'll have the roster spot. But again, that's my interpretation of it. We'll double-check it. But I think you have to designate the guy, but once you've done it, you can bring him back anytime after week eight.
Oh, okay. So we just don't know whether or not DeCastro's been designated that guy and how that works.
Well, we know he hasn't yet.
Right, so. Right. But what, you know, if they designate him, let's say 2 weeks from now they designated him, is it 8 weeks from that period, or does it retro back when he actually suffered the injury?
Well, I don't think it matters when he suffered the injury. I think the rule will be on the NFL calendar. You can have him practice after week six, and he can come back after week eight. So I don't think it matters when the injury happened or when you put him on. It's just if you designate a guy, that's when he can come back.
Okay. And we'll look further into this. Some of this language should be up here a little bit more in depth. I mean, what we have is what we have to go on right now. And even then, there's some gray area in it right now. But as far as, you know, a few of the other roster moves, you know, they probably thought by keep, you know, I thought if they were going to keep an extra linebacker, David, I thought it would be after the injury of Tashaun Spence. I thought it would be maybe Marshall McFadden because of the lack of numbers there, because, of course, Stevenson, Sylvester, and that MCL tear. And plus, you know, Adrian Robinson really, really didn't impress on special teams, in my opinion. Now, he looked great getting after the quarterback. There's no denying that. But, you know, them keeping him on the 53 to start with may have been a sign that they're not totally convinced that Jason Worlds or James Harrison, one of the two, if not both, might not make it back for the Denver game there. So that's one way to look at that. How long is Robinson going to stay on the 53? I think it all depends on the health of those two linebackers, and then of course Stevenson Sylvester as well. Robert Golden, of course, they needed the fifth safety. Because of Ryan Clark's going to be down for the Denver game due to the sickle cell trait and all. You know, I thought they'd go Damon Cromartie-Smith here because of the play of special teams. But when you look at it, and I should have drilled this down further. Sometimes I love to overthink stuff, David. I know you find that pretty shocking. But, you know, if you look at it from a pure positional standpoint, Robert Golden is a free safety, can play some cornerback if, God forbid, if that needed ever arose. And Cromartie's basically a strong safety type. So even though Cromartie-Smith probably offers you more in the way of special teams, Robert Golden probably offers you more long-term value, too, as maybe the heir apparent to Ryan Clark there. So how long he stays on the roster, we'll see. And, you know, I got kind of scared and kept five cornerbacks all because of not knowing the status of Curtis Brown coming out of that game with a knee injury. And, in fact, I didn't keep Robert Golden because, you know, it was reported he had a hamstring injury, but evidently neither of those two injuries are bad because they only kept four corners, and they kept Robert Golden as a fifth safety.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of that. I think there was some conversation about the quarterback situation, and one of the things people have talked about is, do you want to keep Charlie Batch? We've talked a bunch of times during the course of the year. Charlie's really not that expensive at the end of the day. And what what the Steelers have in the quarterback situation is Ben Roethlisberger is 30 years old. He's under contract for a bunch more years. And really, the only reason you would necessarily groom Gerard Johnson here is because maybe you look to move him later on. You're not going to look to keep this guy for an extended period of time, and he's not going to look to stay behind Ben. So the idea of grooming a quarterback for development purposes, I think, is not one the Steelers need to be focused on right now. I think you'd probably rather have Charlie Batch in there if all hell breaks loose and you have to get to the third quarterback. He doesn't give you the best chance to be a competitive team in terms of winning the Super Bowl, but he gives you a better chance probably at this point in time than Gerard Johnson. So I think that's probably the thinking behind what went on there. I don't know that the Steelers figure they owe Charlie Batch anything. I'm pretty comfortable that Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert are going to go with the best 53 guys and give them a chance to win. But all things being equal at the end of the line, I do think that's probably why they took Charlie over Gerard Johnson.
Absolutely. And you need, like we said in the other podcast, David, you need seven players on an inactive list too. That Charlie's going to be one of those. And that was another reason why, unless you're going to keep Gerard Johnson on the 53-man roster, it made no sense, in my opinion, to cut Charlie Batch there. And we saw what he could do in that final preseason game. Them playing him in that game alone, to me, signaled that they were going to keep him on the 53-man roster. I mean, why are you going to risk injuring a guy and having to eat him on IR if you're thinking about releasing him? But I was able to call 24 of 25 positions right on offense. I got the David Paulson call right. I got the four wide receivers right that I thought they'd carry, the five running backs I thought they'd carry. To me, I thought that was kind of obvious. Look, people are still getting on me on Twitter and all like that saying, well, why are they only carrying four wide receivers? It's plain and simple. Todd Haley does not use anything more than three wide receiver sets. I can't even say I've seen a four wide receiver set. They've had Chris Rock.
Well, I don't know that we can say that he won't. I think part of the reason was he said he's going to use his person, the best personnel he sees, and you know, with Mike Wallace not there, and with Chris Rainey and some different things. I mean, he's used four wide receiver sets before in the past, but you're right. I don't think he did it at all in the preseason.
And if he does, he's got four wide receivers to run that with. And it's not like he runs that a bunch, though, okay? And he dang sure not going to use five wide receiver sets and go empty backfield. That's another thing we have not seen during the preseason. You have the ability to line Rainey up out there. You have and this goes back to us way back after Rainey was drafted, David, with me and you saying, hey, Chris Rainey is going to be a running back, a slash wide receiver, slash kick returner. It's turned into everything exactly what we said this kid was basically going to be in this offense here. And his abilities to do all this is what enables them to carry just four wide receivers. When you add on top of it that your fifth wide receiver was either going to be David Gilreath or Derek Williams, and neither one of those guys stuck out on special teams whatsoever, whereas Baron Batch did on special teams. That's why Baron Batch, don't look at Baron Batch so much as a fifth running back as you would more of a special team specialist, the way Arnaz Battle was a sixth wide receiver last year. So those numbers broke out exactly the way I thought they would on offense. On defense, it was a flip a coin with Al Woods and Corbin Bryant, David. I wish I could sit here and say, Al Woods definitely whooped Corbin Bryant there. That was a good training camp battle to watch there. And, you know, Corbin Bryant didn't make it to the practice squad, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I think it was more of a numbers thing, what they needed with the practice squad. Don't be surprised if you see Corbin Bryant back on the practice squad at some point there. We hit the safety numbers. We hit the cornerback numbers, the linebacker numbers. I shorted them one there and, went with an extra cornerback instead because of the injury to Brown. But overall, when you look at this 53-man roster, not names that really shocked any of us here.
Yeah, I think a couple things to point out also about that roster. We know basically you've got three undrafted free agents in this year's class, and Adrian Robinson, Robert Golden, and Drew Butler. Three undrafted free agents made the team. Nine rookies made the team. And then you've got Will Johnson. And for all intents and purposes, Will Johnson's an undrafted free agent and a rookie, but he's not counted in the rookie category because he is a year out of college. Doesn't really make any sense, but they list him as a one-year guy, not a rookie, but he is a rookie on this roster. So those are some interesting numbers to generally keep in mind. Dave, I think the other thing that I found a little bit interesting is we talked about Trey Essex. Trey Essex didn't have a very good camp. Kelvin Beachum didn't have a very good camp. It was a little bit of a pillow fight for that last spot. And at the end of the day, they kept Kelvin Beachum because they see something in him. He's the younger guy. He's a cheaper guy. So that's one thing. Alameda Ta'amu had a bad camp. He got kept because he's the fourth round pick. They probably want to have three nose tackles, but he's the guy who's most likely going to be inactive for games. Somebody on Twitter yesterday wrote something silly like, Steeler fans, don't worry. Don't worry. DeCastro is injured and Adams hasn't done much because you found your nose tackle of the future. That couldn't be further from the truth. If they found a nose tackle of the future, then it's Steve McClendon. He had a camp and he's the guy, but Ta'amu was not a guy in camp, and he's around again on potential, not what he did so far.
Absolutely. He hasn't even begun to show. I'm doing a write-up right now and on these young guys that made the roster, David, and I put the future is not now for the Steelers' fourth-round nose tackle. In fact, the future appears to be a good ways away right now, as Tom, who has quite a bit to learn about leverage and playing the nose tackle position in the 3-4 defense. And I wrote the same thing that you just said there. Expect the Washington product to be on the inactive list quite a bit as a rookie. So, yeah, you nailed it there. The kid, he only played in the base 3-4 when he was in the game. Which wasn't much because late in games they like to play a lot of that nickel in there. He did not look overly impressive holding the point, holding two gaps there, and that's something that he's going to have to work on. If you want something to have a little optimism about here, Steve McClendon got pushed around a bunch too. When he first started bouncing around in preseason and all like that, look what's happened to him. It's going to take time. John Mitchell has stated how he works with these defensive linemen. He likes to break these guys down and put them back together again with what he in the mold of that he wants to do. And a training camp and a preseason is just not enough time to do that. Casey Hampton he didn't even start until what, 6-7 games his rookie season. And, and that was kind of an exception to the rule. So don't get upset here. And let's judge, this is a redshirt year for Ta'amu. Don't even think about him contributing until we get past the preseason games next year.
Yeah, and then the other guy, we haven't touched too much on the practice squad. I don't think there are a ton of surprises in terms of what the Steelers did. They kept two receivers because they're only carrying four. And again, I'll say David Gilreath has some potential as a guy in the return game. Okay as a receiver. Tony Clements made the team because of what they see in him in potential. Didn't do anything in training camp to distinguish himself. Derek Williams was probably better. There are a couple other guys people might think were better in camp. Maybe Tyler Beiler. Marquise Mays was good in that last preseason game, and he does a little bit in the return game. But Tony Clements, they like his size and his potential, and that's why he's on the practice squad. But again, another guy who was disappointing in camp. Dave, on the practice squad, I do think the thing that surprised us both is that Corbin Bryant didn't get there. And I still don't know why. I'm not sure. And as far as I can tell, I haven't seen any Steeler cut sign on somebody else's practice squad. Have you?
No, I have not. And the reason I think that you it shakes out the numbers. Remember what practice squad means. It's numbers that you need for practice. And I should have saw this coming with I picked the four wide receivers, right? But I should have saw that they needed two more receivers, which would give them six. Two groups to run reps with there. So should have seen that numbers coming there. David Gilroy, not a surprise. Tony Clements, you can speak to that more than anybody, David. I mean, you saw Clements. Is the size and the speed and the awareness enough there that all he has to do is work on the hands, or are we still talking about a very, very raw, inconsistent kid here?
Yes, that's the answer to all of that. And, you hate to bring the Lima Swede parallel in, but, if you're a wide receiver, your primary job is catching the ball. So you got to catch the ball. And he didn't catch the ball enough. So we'll see what happens. They don't have a big receiver. We've heard for, you know, since Plex left, conversations about having a big receiver on the roster. And so Tony Clements basically gets a free year at, make $100,000. They make $5,700 a week. He'll get $100,000 to see if he can get better at it, see if he can make this team next year. But I don't expect him to be active or activated to the 53-man roster at any point in time. He just gets a scholarship to see if he can figure it out.
Yeah, and the John Malecki was a surprise, but once you look at the healthy linemen that they kept when you have DeCastro as one of your nine, he's definitely not going to practice. So you have eight. By keeping two linemen, that gives you two sets of five. So
yeah, you needed that extra guy for sure.
Right, and Ryan Lee, I mean, how could you not keep this guy? I mean, honestly, David, this kid, left guard, I think this kid has potential. And it's hard to say that with a guy that played third team, but he really, really looks like he gets it. He looks physical. He plays through the whistle. Keep an eye on Ryan Lee. You know, he might bounce on and off this practice squad this year because they might need the spot for something else here and there. But he's a name that you're going to see around here for a while, especially next training camp. He might be able to compete for a roster spot next year. John Malecki, to me, this is just they needed another interior guy for practice, I think. Malecki has no future in the NFL. This is not his first rodeo on a practice squad. Jamie McCoy, let's face it, they needed a backup fullback for the time being, another tight end body there in practice, I think, because you don't want Will Johnson, taking all those fullback hits, all the time in practice. I think that's why he was kept. Marshall McFadden, he really played good in the preseason in limited time, David, late in games, sort of an inside Mac linebacker. We even had him on the podcast early on after he was signed. I think he's got some potential there. Once again, this is a guy that's kept because of a need of depth purpose there with Stevenson Sylvester. And, of course, Sean Spence gone for the year now. Sylvester, who knows when he'll be back, hopefully next week. Josh Victorian beat out Terrence Frederick there. Josh Victorian was the kid that, when Terry Carter was lost to his hamstring, Victorian was the guy to take his place, and that just speaks volumes of his play. He should have had three interceptions in the preseason. Instead, he had one. Evidently, being down there at Louisiana Tech and all like that, it's close to, I guess he got, that's where the Ike Taylor hands are bred. right. Down there. But hey, I thought he broke on the ball real good in his play there. Like I said, he should have had three picks during that preseason there. But yeah, that rounds out the practice squad, and I think you hit it best at the opening there, David, saying, look, this 53 that we have, this practice squad that we have right here, when we get two or three weeks down the road, these numbers are all going to this is going to be kind of a rotating unit here for a little bit.
Yep. And Dave, the other thing is, if you look at the position groups, I guess what I would say as the Steelers start the season here, the deepest positions are wide receiver, just in terms of talent. They obviously didn't keep a fifth guy because they didn't think it was worthwhile, but clearly the four guys they have are quality NFL players. So shockingly enough, I think the other position that's deep is running back. We thought coming into the season with just having with Rashard, assuming he was going to be on the IR possibly, and now he's not. He's going to be on the 53-man, but not available. You wondered if anything was going to happen. And we haven't seen a lot of Isaac Redmond, but I think people are really comfortable with what they saw from Jonathan Dwyer. You got Baron Batch. You're including now Chris Rainey in that group. So that's a deep position as well. And I think the two weakest positions, clearly the tight end position is weak, more so even because Wesley Saunders is on the suspended inactive list. And the other one is linebacker for the obvious reasons. Again, you've got James Harrison, you've got Jason Worlds as big question marks, and you've got no depth behind the guys inside. So what's your take on kind of the position groups, Dave?
I've worried about the outside linebacker position all offseason. That's not going to change until Harrison and World show me what type of snaps they can change. Boy, what a tough injury to Sean Spence, man. I mean, gee, Manetti. We're already thin at linebacker. Then you take a shot at one inside who who it was probably going to be one of your best special teams players as well. I think we're fine at cornerback, and I think that's something we've both kind of said all offseason long. Is, you know, people kept trying to point to the cornerback position, and we said no, the linebacker position is where you need to worry about. I like the defensive line work. I thought Cameron Hayward got off to kind of a slow preseason start. Maybe you can speak to how his camp play was overall, whether or not it was slow or not. But I thought towards the end of the preseason there, the final two games, I thought he played well. I thought Ziggy played well. Steve McClendon, wow, what can you say there? Casey Hampton got in that game the other night for a few snaps, and you have to feel good about him rotating with Steve McClendon, at least early on, until he gets his sea legs up underneath him, his training camp or regular season legs up underneath him. But, you know, I think linebacker right now is where everybody should be worried. I'm with you. I like the wide receivers. I like the running backs. Even though we lost to Castro, I like the offensive line and the depth there and the quarterback depth. So, I think I'm with you, David. The linebackers, you know, is the thing that I think could be, you know, at the beginning of the season, the biggest thing to worry about right now.
Right. So, and one area we haven't touched on, the depth chart came out today, and the one change in special teams is Chris Rainey is now going to be the first guy in kick and punt returns. That's not much of a surprise. We know that Mike Tomlin likes what he has in Chris Rainey. Emmanuel Sanders was going to be the guy, and Emmanuel Sanders was probably looking to that role and relishing that role. But really, as the third receiver, he's going to get plenty of work, plenty of time on the field. And I'm sure the Steelers feel like this is a really good use of Chris Rainey. And I'm not a big proponent of doing anything because a guy might get injured. But I'm sure Mike Tomlin says, you know, if again, they'd rather not subject Sanders to the wear and tear of that as he is the third receiver.
Yeah, and just seeing what Rainey did the other night in those two punt returns. I mean, yeah, I know there were a couple of holds or whatnot on there, but there were also a couple of broken ankles by some Panthers players. And hey, Chris Rainey, we talked about this, I think, on your show the other day, David, that this is a guy that when you look back at the 2012 season, I think you're going to see five or six touchdowns next to Chris Rainey's name. And I think they're going to come in all various forms, you know, possible. I think you're going to see a couple punt returns, maybe one kickoff return, maybe a blocked field goal, and maybe one pass for a touchdown as well, too. I mean, this kid really can do it all. Now, I'm not convinced he's not a guy that you're going to send out there every third down because of his size. But I think he is a guy that you can get the ball into his hands around five to six times a game and then, you know, throw in a couple of punt returns on that. I mean, you got a real explosive kid there. So, I'm with you on everything that you said right there. And, you know, with Emmanuel Sanders, too, I'm all for, you know, how I was a worry wart last offseason about Emmanuel Sanders and about his health. And, you know, anytime you can, you know, until he shows he can play a full season at wide receiver, why not kind of limit his hits right now, especially when you have a guy like Rainey that can do it on punt kick returns?
So, David, that kind of sets us up pretty well here for what the roster looks like, what the practice squad looks like. It's football week. By the time we do our next show, it'll be the start of the season. Dallas and heads to New York and takes on defending Super Bowl champion Giants on Wednesday, and then we get a full slate of games on Sunday, and the Steelers will be one of the last teams to kick things off with that 8:20 start Eastern time in Denver. Couple of the notes on things that happened today is not a surprise in the fact that Ben Roethlisberger and Brett Kiesel were named captains for the offense and defense. The Steelers didn't name a special teams captain. That didn't really surprise me either. Maybe a guy like Will Allen, who did make the team, who was probably, I don't know that he was a lock, but it looked in camp. Connell Lake likes him. He knows his role. He can be an extra safety, but special teams guy, if somebody was going to get the job, I think he would have been the guy I would have thought would be elected captain. Didn't happen, so they'll go with two. And then practice today. Dave, what were the reports from there?
The limited stuff we got coming in here, Mike Byers reported James Harrison worked, I guess, the morning session, but not the team portion of practice. And, of course, the team portion is really when you getting into the hitting and all like that. The beginning portion is more drills related, stretching and all like that. That, you know, that kind of signals to me, David, that and Harrison said after practice he's not sure if he's going to be able to play, but that his morning session went okay. Now, we expected them to ease him back into this thing. We didn't really expect he's going to go out there and put the pads on and start, you know, and start hitting out there. But, you know, here we are Monday. The key practice with him is going to be Wednesday, I think. You know, if he's limited in any capacity, you know, this is a guy you've got to get up to speed real quick. I mean, let's face it, he was just off PUP last week. This is the first week of practice that he's gone through. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, you know, right now, and we'll see what Mike Tomlin says during his press conference on Tuesday, but I'm willing to bet this guy ends up being doubtful at the end of the week here. And Mike Wallace did return to practice today. Evidently, Emmanuel Sanders told Ed Bouchette that Mike Wallace is going to start in Denver. Evidently, Wallace worked with wide receivers coach Scotty Montgomery at the end of last week there upon his arrival. And Scotty, and what a great, I mean, your interview with Scotty Montgomery just is, and I love to hear him talk too. I think him and Carnell Lake are just fantastic guys to hear talk. I think they're players type coaches as well too. Scotty Montgomery really, I think, went out of his way to kind of help Mike Wallace this past week. And Mike's talking like they're not going to have to limit this playbook very much on him. Now, you know, we know how players like to say one thing and what actually happens, you know, is another thing. I'm still not ready to say Mike Wallace is going to be out there for 50 or 60 plays in this game. But hey, it's encouraging news nonetheless that they're going to have all four wide receivers probably contributing Sunday night against the Broncos.
Yeah, with you on that. Covers most of what we wanted to cover today. I guess there was a piece of news out yesterday that I found surprising. You put a post up on it. Mark Cabali and I were having a chat on Twitter. Dennis Dixon is a guy that I think three teams took a look at him in the offseason. He tried out, or he had contact with the Broncos, who, if they were running Tim Tebow's offense, probably would have been a good fit out there. The St. Louis Rams and the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens decided not to sign him. They ended up signing Curtis Painter. They carried Curtis Painter all through the preseason and then cut him. And in what something I find really ironic is they then re-signed Dennis Dixon to the practice squad. And I was surprised. I think Mark was a little perplexed as well about the rules. I think we both thought if you had been in the league 3 years, you couldn't go to the practice squad. But evidently, you have to have been active for 9 games during an accrual season that counts you toward your free agency years. And Dixon was active for, I think, 5 in one of his years and 6 in another, something like that. It's all on Dave's site at SteelersDepot.com, but never 9. So he got a job. I'm shocked, but hey, good for him.
You don't run into this very often, though. It's not – take a good look at this. I mean – And kudos to them for finding a way of getting a quarterback with a couple games experience onto the practice squad. You know, you normally don't see that. Now, we are talking about Dennis Dixon here, but you hit it on the head. He had in, his rookie season, he was only active the 1 week, the final week against the Cleveland Browns in 2008. 2009. Was of course the season that he had to start the game against the Ravens after Roethlisberger had the concussion against the Chiefs, and then Charlie Batch late in the game hurt his hand or something like that. So Dixon had to start that game against the Ravens. He was active the rest of the season, but he did not play. If memory serves me correct, there I think he was only played in a game against the Ravens. And then, of course, you fast forward to 2010. He had to start the first 2 games of the season against the Falcons and the Titans, and he got injured that knee against the Titans. He was inactive the next week before he ultimately got placed on injured reserve before the week of the week 4 game against the Ravens there. So he finished out the 2010 season there on injured reserve. 2011, after the Texans games, he I think that was a game Roethlisberger kind of hurt his beginning, had that problem with the foot or something, I believe. Anyway, Dixon was active for the game against the Titans and the Jaguars. Of course, he did not play in either one of those games. Inactive the next 4-7 games. And then at the end of last year, he was active for the 3 final games, although I don't think he played in any of those 3 games there at the end. I don't remember seeing that there. But not 9 games active in one season, and that's what the CBA states. I got to be honest with you, I thought it was 9 games total at first, but when you go back, when you go back and read that with the accrued and then the accrued S in parentheses there, I don't know, you know more about law than I do, David. The way I read that now, I guess, is that it's 9 games in a accrued season, any accrued season.
Right. So Dennis Dixon gets a chance with the Ravens. He wanted to get a job and compete as a starter, get into camp, didn't get into anybody's camp. I really thought maybe his NFL career was over. He'd maybe have to look at the CFL or, you know, any other opportunity that presented itself. But, hey, good for him.
Hey, that's a good point, though. Do you think it's that important to stay around the NFL that way with a practice squad? Or do you think he'd been better off going to the CFL to kind of show he still has it in quote-unquote professional football there? Do you think he made the right decision there?
I don't know the answer. I would think probably he's young enough that sticking around the NFL this year is probably a good choice. But if he's going to have a career in football, it's going to be in the CFL. I'm pretty comfortable with that. So,
yeah. Hey, you know. He's two injuries away from starting for the Ravens. So
that's true.
Hey, so, if you're a Steelers fan, don't get upset that Dennis Dixon signed on their practice squad.
Yeah. Who knows? Late in the season, who knows?
You don't know.
Dave, do any names catch your eye in terms of cuts? I mean, we saw a lot of waiver claims, and again, look, we'll just point this out because we talk about it. You know, worrying about guys who get cut being claimed by other guys and not getting them to the practice squad. The Steelers don't have a particularly robust practice squad. What we see in camp is I do think this is a good Steeler team, but I do think maybe – and I think it has depth at the right spots, but there wasn't a ton of camp competition for positions, and none of the Steeler cuts made it anywhere else. Of course, we haven't seen what's come out of this draft, really. We're not going to see DeCastro for a while. Who knows if we'll see Mike Adams at all this year. And Sean Spence now gone. So the top end of the draft is really not going to provide a lot here, at least early in the season. But I didn't see a lot of names that really surprised me out there. We saw the Jets claim 3 guys off waivers, which, you know, that doesn't say a lot about what you think of your team if you're claiming 3 guys off waivers from other teams. Anybody else kind of jump out at you?
No, you know, Creston Butler got released by the Cardinals, and he ended up with the Redskins claiming him off waivers there. So I found that interesting. I thought, who was it? Clark Hagans, I think, got waived too.
And he claimed by San Francisco.
And claimed by San Francisco there. So you know, those are two names that caught my eye. But you know what? We go through this every year, and I think we said this recently, David. Every year, people worry about a guy. Maybe an undrafted free agent that the Steelers sign has a good camp, a good preseason or whatnot, and they worry about whether or not this guy's going to make it to the practice squad. When you looked at all the people, you know, you got 32 teams that got to carve down all these teams. I read tweets from Cowboys fans, from everybody that said, oh, Lord, we can't cut him. He'll never clear waivers and make it to the practice squad. They all make it to the practice squad. It's very, very, very rare that you see, especially an undrafted kid, not make it to the practice squad. Now, would Adrian Robinson and Robert Golden have made it to the practice squad? You know, it's, you know, for us to say for sure, no, we can't, because that didn't happen there. They obviously saw enough in both those guys. They did enough during the preseason training camp to warrant a roster spot. But let's face it, David, do you think Adrian Robinson and Robert Golden are going to spend all 17 weeks on the Steelers 53-man roster?
I think Golden is, yeah. Adrian Robinson, don't know. It's good to know that both – we'll just throw in that both Curtis Brown and Robert Golden practiced today. Dick Brown had the knee and Golden had the hamstring injury, so that's good to know. Yeah, I do. I think they think a lot of Robert Golden, so I'd be surprised, you know, if he didn't last the whole year on the roster. But I meant to ask you, before we went on to the other teams, was the one guy in the practice squad who we didn't mention was a guy who got cut in the first cut to 75. Jamie McCoy gets cut in that first cut. We were both a little surprised by that. And then he gets signed to the practice squad, I think, because of lack of depth at that area, the fullback slash tight end position. But do you think the Steelers were playing some games there, or do you think they looked around, couldn't find anybody else who was better, and had to sign McCoy back?
I think you hit it with the second one there. I mean, McCoy, hey, I got to be honest with you. Well, after they moved him to fullback, and I got to see him, you know, last year get play some fullback too on tape preseason, this guy didn't garner a lot of attention last year either, ended up on the practice squad. I think it was just a numbers thing. I wanted to look at a few extra guys a little bit longer in that final set of preseason games there. So I think that's exactly what they did. I don't think it was really game playing right there. They probably told McCoy right then, hey, you know, we got to cut you early because we need to take a look at a few other guys. Good luck to you. If something happens, you don't get picked up, we have, you know, we're intending possibly to bring you back to the practice squad here. So Jamie McCoy's, they needed a backup fullback, I think, in practice to take, you know, some of the load off of Will Johnson, who really is their only fullback right now. And, you know, I think that was the reason why they brought him back instead of Corbin Bryant there. And I don't think we've seen the last of Corbin Bryant either. I thought he had a pretty solid preseason, and I think it's just a numbers thing right now, what they needed on the practice squad right now. So, you know, I think in a few weeks, I think you'll see Corbin Bryant back on the practice squad.
All right. Dave, we're at our three-a-week schedule, our in-season schedule now. And just to kind of bring people up to speed, what we like to typically do is we'll have our preview with a member of the media of the opposing team on Wednesdays, and then we'll kind of look around the league on Wednesdays as well and talk about it. We don't spend a lot of time in the offseason talking about other teams in the NFL, but we'll do that during the season. We'll kind of hit on the kind of five or six topics that we think are most interesting, and then on Fridays we will give our own breakdown of the game and what we're looking for. And then our picks, our NFL picks, which we, you know, continue to nail those consistently. Dave, anything else here before we wrap things up on a pretty nice Sunday, Monday here in Pittsburgh on a Labor Day?
Yeah,
Monday.
It's nice here. It's hot as blazes here now. Yeah, I got that storm all cleared out of this area now. But no, I think you've covered it, David. I think Cecil Lammy. For the Wednesday show to get his view on the Broncos side of things there. And then, as you said, the Friday show, we'll look around the league, preview the Steelers game. Maybe I can chase the man a little bit better this year with my picks or whatnot. But as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David at Hammer Speaks. You're gonna be changing that handle soon, aren't you, David?
Maybe changing that handle. It's open to debate right now.
All right. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Emails in this week, too. One in particular, let's see, who did our buddy Bob from Canada chimed back in about the quarterback ratings and what else did he get into here about I don't know. This is going to be a good one to read on the next podcast. Bob, trust me, we get your emails, brother. you are an entertaining fella. You're going to be constantly have a place on this show for us to have some topics. I think he's still pretty mad about Mike Wallace situation and all like that. And Bob, we'll get to you. We promise. We've got a long season coming up here. And make sure you listen to David on his show on ESPN and supporting him, his two-hour show, 5 days a week there. First hour is pretty much, I think, hodgepodge. Second hour, Steelers stuff there. So please support him on there as well.
All right. And always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.